The Vital Statistics of Mental Health with psychologist David Abramson is brought to you by the Hi FM Helpline. Caring, compassionate, confidential. 0800 24 24 36.
To David Abramson, psychologist in a private practice, joining us as he always does on a Thursday. This morning we're talking about the psychology of Black Friday. And what I find incredible, David, is that no matter how much we know intellectually that we are being played and we are being enticed and we are being tempted, I still find myself going through sites and thinking, ooh, wow, an Under Armour t-shirt for $4.99. That's very cheap. And I don't even know that it is, David. I don't even know that it is.
Well, I tell you, I think we all do. We all go through this and it's so psychological. And I think, you know, that's why I think it's so important to talk about it, because it's, I think we do. We all want to have and get that good deal. You know, I think we've spoken a lot about, social psychology and terms like cognitive bias, and cognitive bias really plays a very, very big role in Black Friday, because, you know, it's just kind of like we deviate from our rationality, our judgment. We create our own subjective reality and it kind of dictates our behavior. And I think the point that you're making, which is so important, is that, you know, even I think, yes, we all want a good deal, and we'll go, and maybe I can, you know, point out a couple of these factors which kind of play into cognitive biases. But one of them definitely is that, that fear of missing out. We just don't want to miss out on something very special. And even if we are very mindful, we find ourselves, you know, going online and looking for that deal, even though we don't probably need it very much. So absolutely, one of the big things I think is fear of missing out, and that's why we kind of engage in it. And the other one I think is, which is very, very interesting, is like this something called the scarcity effect, where, you know, when you hear selling out fast
while stocks last.
And I see Game this year have got a brilliant one, this, you know, when they try and push the scarcity effect, like when it's gone, it's gone. You know, I'm like, that sounds scary.
We're offering specials for the entire week, but we're not repeating them. So it's like, well, I mean, isn't that the whole basis of one day only?
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting that so many companies have kind of spread out the scarcity, if you want to call it that, you know, which will be interesting to see whether that really, has an effect on the sales, you know, for many companies, because that's one thing that people do, psychologically get sucked into, is that scarcity. But now, you know, Black Friday is the whole Black Month, you know, so I think for me, it'll be interesting to see whether it does affect, the actual sales on Black Friday, because that is a big one for retailers, you know, that scarcity effect. And then, you know, there's a few other things that I think, you know, exactly as you say, the reason why we just kind of go ahead and do it. And the other one is something called social proof. We just do it because others do it. You know, we watch our neighbors, we watch our friends, they doing it. And that's a very powerful pull, just to do it ourselves.
Yeah. David, I remember actually reading, and I might have told our listeners about it before. I remember reading in one of, in a study, and I've actually battled to find where it is, because I think it's so important, is they conducted a survey in America where they asked a couple of neighborhoods to save electricity, and they said, why would you save electricity? And they said, is it because it's good for the environment? Is it because it saves you money? And is it because your neighbors are doing it? And almost, it was quite heavily weighted. Everybody said, number one, because of the environment, number two, because it saves money, and number three, because your neighbors are doing it. And then what they did was they divided the cards, and to one neighborhood they sent out a thing saying, save electricity because it's good for the environment. And to another neighborhood, they sent out a thing saying, save electricity because you'll save money. And to the third one, they said, save electricity, all your neighbors are doing it. And they wanted to measure which was the neighborhood that saved the most, and then they could relate it back to the reasons. And what they found was exactly the opposite of what everybody said. The biggest saving was because your neighbors are doing it, followed by money, followed by the environment. And it's exactly to your point that we get so caught up with what everybody else is doing.
Absolutely. It's such a powerful study that you're quoting. And I think Yeah, you know, when we're unsure of what to do, we look around and see what others are doing, and we just assume, and sometimes to our detriment, that that's the right thing to do. And that is exactly perfect description of social proof. I mean, it's not like I always think, you know, that all the retailers in the world get, you know, this is my sarcasm coming out, you know, all the retailers in the world, you know, come together and they decide that they want to do the consumers of the world a favor. So they're going to have a week or a day where they're just going to give away stuff like at ridiculous prices. And I suppose I'm being, you know, sarcastic on purpose to make a point that yes, there are deals out there. There's no question, but there are so many, and I find it fascinating this time of year to watch, and it's going to be a very strong word, Howard, psychological manipulation that happens to make and to help and to urge, consumers to spend and often spend what they don't have. Another interesting one that I wanted to talk about is the anchoring effect. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
And we've all seen this. You know, when they, you know, have a number like R1,000 and they've crossed it out and then they put now $4.95, you know, or whatever it might be.
Okay.
So people use that first piece of information, the 1,000, as an anchoring effect. So that shows us, gee whiz, look
what
how much
saving.
We are. What a saving. And often, and I've actually done a bit of research over the last couple of years, where, and I'm not sure if it's so legal, where, you know, that initial number, you know, is often inflated. So it actually gives you that feeling that you're saving more than you actually are. So I think it's so important to know that, you know, there are some amazing deals out there, but very importantly, know that these companies
to know what your
millions,
what the base price really is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And these companies have spent billions of dollars and rands, you know, trying to work out the best way to get us to spend. So, you know, let's remember they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart.
Oh, no, absolutely. Charles says, my sister in LA plans her shopping for Black Friday in advance so that there's no wasted. You've written motion. I'm assuming you mean money. The fact is that there are things that are at least 50% cheaper. And there are definitely the deals, but you've just got to know your stuff and you've got to know that you need it or want it.
Well, absolutely. I think that's the point, is to be, and I know, you know, psychology and, you know, throws us around a lot, but just to be, but, you know, to be mindful. And I think you said it, you know, I know I'm doing it. I'm aware I'm doing it. And that's a very good start, because, as soon as you're not aware and you're kind of just going with the flow, I think that's when we can run into trouble. And one last one that I actually wanted to mention to you was also this idea of our commitment and consistency, because often we put so much energy, you know, when we do research things that when, you know, it comes down to the sale and maybe it's not as good as it could be, we just do it because we put in so much effort, you know. How often do we go to the shops and leave with nothing, you know, if we plan to buy something? So I think, again, there are so many psychological factors that are at play over the next couple of days.
And the other thing I think for people to be aware of is that there's this whole concept of resistance. And I don't know if you've noticed it. Certainly I'm very much like this, is if you go into a shop, the resistance you've got to overcome to actually buy something is quite big. But once you've overcome that and you've committed to buying, you're going to throw in a lot more stuff. And the way that Black Friday works is that it works to lower our initial resistance. In other words, I find that one item that is so ridiculously cheap that I must just put, I'm going to take that now. But now I've already got a cart, and once I'm going to go through the irritation of putting in my credit card and going through and close the deal, I might as well just throw in a couple more things. And that's, I think, the biggest area where people get caught, is because there are certain deals that are so cheap and so good that we just land up throwing in other things because that resistance has now completely been lowered.
Well, you're describing something again, Howard, that's exactly the point. You know, we are driven as human beings by our reward systems. And I think for me, that's what you're describing, is that we get this amazing deal And it, you know, it's a chemical response, it's a neurological response. We get this huge serotonin, you know, release, which is a very powerful chemical. It's that happy chemical, you know, that makes us feel amazing. And so absolutely, once we are, it's kind of like we're on the drug and we're feeling good, we want more. So, and even if the drug isn't as good as the first hit, we chase it. So it can become a bit addictive once you put your hand in your pocket. We've activated that reward system.
Oh, that's interesting. It is 8:25. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning to you. Psychologist in private practice, David Abramson. We're talking about the psychology behind Black Friday. And as David said, it's not, the concept isn't here for our shopping benefit. It is here for the suppliers, but that doesn't mean it's all bad, and it doesn't mean that we can't get something positive out of it, David.
No, absolutely. As we were saying, I think if you really do your research and you put some time and effort in, you'll find some amazing deals. You know, as we've been saying, I think we just have to do it very, very mindfully and just be aware that, as you were pointing out, you know, there are so many factors at play here, and it can be addictive. You know, once you get a good deal, you are likely to be looking for another one. You know, so there are good deals out there, but to be very, very, I suppose, aware, cognitive of what what the retailers are trying to achieve here, and that's to help us empty our pockets, and do it happily, feeling that we've kind of, you know, getting fantastic deals, which we're not always getting.
I think that's also important, though, is I would imagine that no supplier wants to take complete advantage so that we have buyer's remorse and a negative association with that company afterwards. So I would imagine that the longevity of their business would give some kind of measure of protection.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No one wants to be exploited. So I don't think for me it's really about, it's certainly not about inflating the prices to a ridiculous amount. But it certainly is about, trying to draw as many people into your, into your shop or into your shopping center as possible. So absolutely. I mean, again, companies' reputations are at stake. And they don't want to take advantage. And it's interesting. I don't know if you've seen on Take A Lot. They've got this, here's some free advertising for them. They've got like a blue dot sale. And they've said like these deals won't be beaten on Black Friday, kind of thing, which also kind of, to your point, I think number one, encourages people to shop not only on Black Friday, but to say, I'm not going to wait till Black Friday. Right. But I think also comes down to that integrity that, listen, we are not going to try and sell you today what we're going to discount tomorrow. So I think, again, to integrity, absolutely, but also to try and, encourage people to spend before Black Friday comes.
And the point I would like to make as well, and I wrote an article on it earlier this week, that it's quite anxiety provoking, obviously, for people, for the consumers, because are you going to overspend? Are you going to spend too much money? Are you going to buy what you need? Are you going to get what you actually really want? So there's an element of anxiety around it for the consumer, but let's not forget the level and the stress level for the retailers and the suppliers. Many cases, and you've mentioned Take A Lot, in many cases they've fallen over from a technological perspective. Many companies have fallen over from a operations perspective because they simply can't cope with the number of transactions, reputational damage around the day. And then finally, a point that you made before was, are they going to get a return on their marketing spend? So with all of those factors, given the additional concern that this is a COVID year, which means they can't really call it, because in many cases people have lost income, or one member of a family, if two were earning, maybe one has lost income, so they don't really know what people's disposable income is on that hand. And on the other side of it, they know that people haven't been spending money on holidays, travel, restaurants, etc. So if they have had a job, maybe they do have a little bit more disposable income. So it's very, very difficult this year for the retailers or for the, or for these environments, especially online, to be able to read and therefore anticipate properly. So I think we do have to recognize that it's quite a stressful time, not only for the consumers who need to be very aware of their own stuff and how they are being potentially manipulated, but also for the suppliers who are in a challenging position.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've also noticed this year that suppliers have kind of adopted the philosophy of, you know, under promise and then deliver, hopefully, because there's been a lot of messages saying, you know, especially around COVID, you know, that, COVID or even Black Friday say, you know, we potentially are going to experience huge amounts of volumes and that might cause a delay in our delivery, which is very, very clever again, you know, to,
just
to
make people
it.
And to set expectations. Rakhadi says, I've gotten some great deals. I make a list of things that I need throughout the year and I save towards, the lead up to Black Friday so I can get those deals. Last year's Black Friday, I stocked up on enough alcohol to get me through lockdown.
Oh, priorities right there.
Exactly. I like Rakhadi's focus. I think that's absolutely, and that was even before we knew there was going to be lockdown. That's why it's even more impressive.
Yeah.
Even
very
more
impressive.
Karen says, I'm staying home.
I stocked up on, you know, those floaties for the pool, which has been an absolute pleasure because it's always a pain, you know, when those pools you just get like 12 and then you've done for the year. And, you know, that was the best thing I did last year. Just a little tip.
Actually, that's a very clever idea. Yeah. To buy things like that, that is a pain to go and buy, and you know you're going to be needing them. Mervyn says a good deal is only a good deal if quality item is cheaper. A poor quality item is not a good deal. And I think that's a very, very good point to remember. David Abramson, thank you as always. Fascinating conversation and an important one.